Good morning. The reading today is Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 12, page 636 in the Pew Bibles. Proverbs 3, 1 to 12, page 636. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Laurie. Do keep your Bibles open. And men, if you've got your chocolate, just hang on to it till the end of the service, okay? I think this is a very good idea. I think we should do it every week. I think we should encourage, especially finding one on the lectern right here each week. That'd be great. I just thought I'd let you know that. That's good. But I'm going to save it till the end of the message. I like the idea that this is the first fruits and soon my barn is going to be full of Kit Kats, you know. Okay, let's pray, shall we? Father God, thank you for being our Father. Help us to reflect now on advice that a son gets from his father. Help us to think about you as our Heavenly Father and living our lives for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had a privilege of being allowed to choose the reading for today, so it's my fault if you don't like it. And we can think about these words just for a little bit here. It's, as I said earlier, a sort of happy, sad day, isn't it? Some people it's difficult, some people it's great. There's all kinds of different emotions on a day like today as we think back of things in the past or as we think forwards to what might be one day. Who knows? I wonder, so that this reading is full of advice, really, isn't it? And I wonder if you can remember your dad showing you how to do something or giving you some advice. Maybe that immediately brings something to your mind. I don't know. For me, when I was a boy, we were three noisy boys, and my mum looked after us all week. My dad had to go out to work early. And when on Saturday morning he would be staying at home for the weekend instead of going to London, he would always take us out for an early Saturday morning walk so that mum could have a lie-in. And so we'd go for this walk, and it would take us about an hour, hour and a half, so she had a bit of time to herself. And we'd go on a country walk that went over a river at one point, that was fun, and then over the railway. And when we got to the railway, every week, stand there, and he would say, now what does that sign say? Dad, stop, look, and listen before crossing the line. Okay, can you show me you're doing that? Stop, yeah, we have. Look, yes, okay, both ways. Listen, can you hear anything? Okay, now you can cross the line. And this was almost every week. So I can see one of those old-style British Rail warning signs at a pedestrian crossing, if you like, over a railway track as I speak. And that was some of his earliest advice. Stop, look, and listen before crossing the line. And actually, you could apply that to more than just trains, couldn't you? Let's think about it. Stop, look and listen before, dot, dot, dot. Well, think and pray before, dot, dot, dot. Wouldn't be a bad idea, would it? I remember a few years ago hearing a very moving moment when a man who was about 70 said at his dad's funeral, I remember my dad teaching me how to dive into the waves when they come into the beach. And I thought, that's a lovely memory to have. I remember he taught me that. I was talking to someone else just recently, and she said, I remember my dad explaining the score in tennis, because it's a bit weird when it's love and then 15 and then 30 and then 40 and Dad explained how that was. Maybe you can remember something your dad explained to you a long time ago. Maybe it's something more useful than any of those things. But I hope you can remember something. And of course, put it the other way round, you could ask yourself, be a dad or a mum, what will my son or daughter remember if they were asked this question in so many years' time? Now, recently, Alice, who's here, about 9 months ago, she asked for a bit of advice. She was in Marseille. She wanted to buy a bicycle, and she wanted to buy a second-hand bike. And she sent home a message on her phone saying, "Have you got any advice?" or something like that. "I want to buy a second-hand bike." And we have a little WhatsApp group, which is Dad, Mum, and Alice, just the three of us. So this came through to Roz and to me, and I think we were both at work in different places, and we both replied separately without talking to each other. And there was a lovely contrast in the advice, which Alice thought was absolutely solid gold. So Mum basically just said, "Have a look through a few different bikes. When you find a nice one, have a ride. If you like it, buy it." Great. And Dad said, are you ready for this? There's a long list here. Dad said, be careful about going down a dark street on your own at night with 100 euros in your back pocket. Maybe take somebody else with you. And when you get there, check that the front forks are straight first. See if the side walls of the tyre, the rubber's cracking, and so on and so on and so on. And Alice just thought it was great that she got such contrasting advice. Thanks, Alice. But there's a wider audience in view here as well, isn't there? Maybe you are not necessarily a dad or a mum, but sometimes people come to you for advice, or sometimes you need to go to someone for advice. And it raises the question for all of us, am I good at giving advice if I'm asked? What would I say if I have someone ask me? Or do I listen to advice when it's given to me? And that's probably the crunch, isn't it? Sometimes we hear a bit of advice and we think, yeah, okay, fine. Thanks, very nice of you to tell me that. And then we completely ignore it. And maybe we need to think, are we people who are sort of listening politely and then stubbornly refusing to change? Or are we people who say, actually, do you know what? That's good advice, and I'm going to follow that because that would really make a difference. There's a human tendency, you see, to be proudly independent, to think you know best, and to do it your own way. And we all have that kind of temperament, I think, if we're not careful. So, what is this advice? Well, it's about advice for living in various ways. It's not particularly about crossing railway lines or buying bicycles, is it? It's general advice from a father to a son, so it seems. Wisdom for life, you could say. Now, we might look for wisdom in all kinds of places, and actually the bookshelves are full of it. You can get all kinds of Improve Your Life books out there in the bookshops if you want to. Can I just have those books from there, Georgie? Because I just found three, even in, at home, on the bookshelf in my room, actually, which I've got at different times, don't quite know how. So this one says, Now Discover Your Strengths. So there's a bit of advice there. It's not a Christian book. It's just reading through, discover what your strengths are and then have a better life. Okay, there's one. And there's another one here which says, The Edge, How the Best Get Better. Oh, okay. That's not a Christian book either. So if you know what gives you the edge, then you'll be better than the other people. And that'll be great as well. And then my favourite one of all is actually one from the Boy Scouts chap, Bear Grylls, who's now Lord Bear Grylls or Sir Bear Grylls or OBE or MBE or something in the birthday honours list. And this one is really helpful advice because it's how to stay alive. So if anyone's in danger of, you know, needs a bit of help with that, just we've got in every situation the ultimate survival guide. Okay, so that's really useful advice. But of course, we're talking about a slightly different kind of advice here, aren't we? What would you say to someone, for example, if it was your son's wedding day and they were going to get married and you're going to say a couple of words of advice on the morning of the wedding? Or what would you say if your daughter was going away to uni and was a bit nervous? What would you say? What kind of advice might there be? And what kind of advice would you hope to get? Well, we're going to think a little bit more about wisdom advice in the Bible. And the Bible has several different places where there's what we call wisdom literature. And it's so different from the world's way of wisdom. In a very sort of simple nutshell, the world tends to say, look in, you know, build yourself up, pull your socks up, you can do it, and this kind of thing. But the Bible says, don't look in, look up. And it's as simple as that. Don't look in, look up. Remember God, remember who he is, remember who you are, and live accordingly. And that's the best possible advice you could get. So we're thinking about that just a little bit this morning. The other wisdom books in the Bible, there'd be things like Ecclesiastes and the book of Job, who suffered so much. And the Psalms actually have a lot of practical wisdom about how to pray and that kind of thing. Proverbs, which is the book we're in now, and so on. And in fact, if you were to look through to some of the New Testament letters, Jesus Christ is described as someone who is full of God's wisdom. And so as we look at him, we're getting the wisdom of God if we listen to what he says. But let's have a look at this chapter 3 and see what we can get from this that helps us day by day, especially for the dads, but actually for all of us. Let's have a look at chapter 3. Who is speaking is the first question that I wanted to see. Well, okay, it says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but that could be a mother, that could be a father, that could be God speaking, I suppose. Who is it actually speaking? Well, of course, this advice could be advice for a daughter just as well as for a son. But let's have a look. If you flick back a page, you can see that Proverbs begins, chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. So this is some of the wisdom of Solomon that we all need at certain points. And it says there in 1, verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. We do value mum's advice as well, by the way. And then if you see in 2 verse 1, it says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments, okay? And then in 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. And then 4 verse 1, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive. So it does seem like it's a father giving advice to his sons, and I hope to his daughters as well, but that's how it's put here. So what does this father say to his son in this situation? What's at the heart of it all? What matters most? Let's have a look and see. He starts off in chapter 3 there, the bit we've read, by saying, like, don't forget my teaching, let your heart keep my commandments, and that'll be a blessing for you. And then he says, let steadfast love and faithfulness be something you always hold on to. You could write them round your neck, you could write them on a tablet of your heart. All those things are so important. That'll be good for you. But we're not going to look at every single verse all the way through. Actually, the heart of it, I think, is verse 5, which is just coming up. And this father says to his son, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. I like that expression, lean. Kind of, you can lean on a lectern, you can lean on a kitchen worktop or whatever it is. It kind of means rely on, doesn't it, in a chronographic sort of way. What are you relying on? What do you trust day by day? What do you really bank on that's so important? And is it God and his word and his advice? Or is it something else that you've made up instead? If you look on in chapter 3 to verse 19 and 20, you see something interesting there. 3 verse 19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. It's basically a reminder that God is the creator, that he made everything the way it is. It was out of his wisdom that it was made like that. And we need to remember that and listen to his wisdom as we live in the place that he has made. By wisdom, the Lord made the earth. Will you listen to him as he made you too, and you live in the earth that he made? And very simply, that's the most important thing we could all do. We're going back to the manufacturer's instructions, if you like. We're going back to, that's how he made it. Why don't we listen to him? He would be a good person to listen to, wouldn't he? We need to humbly recognize that trusting in him is better than leaning on our own understanding, relying on, I know what to do, that's all right, I don't need him, I don't need advice, I can do it. Actually, it's good to be humble and to listen to advice and especially to listen to his advice. Let's think about that some more, focusing on verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Well, I want to use two questions to think about this. One is, will you rely on him with all your heart? That's the first question. Will you rely on him with all your heart? And secondly, I suppose it's like putting it into practice, will you remember him in all you do? And those are just the two things to think about this morning. First one, will you rely on him with all your heart? What does that actually mean? It doesn't mean with my strength. It means trusting in his strength. We trust in him rather than being wise in our own eyes, it says. You can see that there as well. The fear of the Lord is another expression which comes up in Proverbs a lot. And it doesn't mean being scared. It means being humble, because he is wise and he is great. And we need to recognize that. It keeps coming up so many times. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we submit to him as our Lord and recognize that we don't know best, but he does, that he made the world, we didn't, then we're beginning to be wise, because we're beginning to live his way. What does it mean to trust? Well, it means to rely on, to depend on, to, as I'm beginning to say, lean on, literally. What does it mean with all your heart? Well, heart is another expression that comes up an awful lot in Proverbs. And it's not talking about something that pumps blood. It's sort of like the control centre. It's all that you are. It's your will, it's your mind, it's your emotions, it's yourself, it's who you really are. It encompasses everything. And it's with all of your heart and all that you are, will you rely on God? That's the big question. Will you rely on him with all your heart? We hear a lot of warnings these days, don't we, about heart disease. Have you noticed that? If you're a bit overweight, or you eat too much of the wrong stuff, or you don't get enough exercise, or whatever it is, look after your heart, because heart disease can kill. Heart attacks are terrible things. Take care of your heart. How about we apply that spiritually and think not just about the blood pump, but about the whole of what it means to rely on God with all our heart, with all that I am, because that's what that means in the original Proverbs here. How do we rely on God with all our heart? How do we lean on him day by day? Well, I guess we need to know him. We need to know what he says. We need to read his advice and guidance and then follow it. And that would be ways of relying on him, wouldn't it? That could be that I read a bit each day, or I read a bit with a friend, or I always pray every day, or all of those things. Am I doing that day by day? If I'm not, perhaps I could start. That would be a good thing. So, okay, Father's Day, some advice we got. I'm going to try and read a bit and pray a bit each day, because that shows I'm really relying on God, not on myself and my own strength. Maybe if you're married, you could say to your wife, shall we pray together just for a few minutes each day? Or maybe as a loving wife, you give your husband a little nudge and say, shall we pray together? Why don't we do that? Actually, my wife's done that for me. Roz is great. She says, come on, we ought to be praying together a bit more. And she gives me a nudge. And that's good. Maybe if it's not a husband or wife, it's a friend or a colleague or someone you know in the home group. And you say, could we just meet up and have a chat and a pray sometimes? Because that would really help me. And that would be a way of relying on God and encouraging each other to do that day by day. So that's the first thing. Will you rely on him with all your heart? Second thing, will you remember him in all you do? And this is a bit more of chapter 3, some practical aspects, because he's kind of got a say in all of our lives and over every aspect of our lives, really. That's who he is. If you look in chapter 3, verse 7, you could say as part of following him and acknowledging him and so on, that I want to turn away from evil, verse 7, that I should honour him with my wealth, such as I have, verse 9. Verse 11, that I should accept his discipline, his loving discipline, when that comes. I wonder what that means for us. Three things under this heading, just to think very quickly. Turn away from evil, verse 7. We do have an inner sense of right and wrong, don't we? But we do know, don't we, that sometimes we ignore that. I know this is wrong, but actually I'm still going to do it because I like doing it. And actually, he's telling us gently, that's not the way to go. Are you going to go my way? And we need to have the courage to hear that and get some strength to be able to turn away from the wrong things and turn to him and do the good things, because he's giving us that internal nudge in our conscience. Do we have the strength to turn away from the wrong things and we know they're wrong? Pray for each other to have that strength. We're not talking about muscle power, we're talking about willpower. Do you have, by God's grace, the strength to turn away from evil? We pray it in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, etc. And we've had the prayer thing recently, and it gets to later in that prayer when it says, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil. Will you pray that in the situation that's coming up for you where you need that strength? Maybe again, ask someone else to pray with you. I always trip up when this happens, when this comes along. Can you help me to change and not do that anymore? Second thing, after turn away from evil, honour him with your wealth. Now, we have wealth of different types, great and small, and he wants us to use our wealth wisely. Some of us have been blessed with a lot, some of us with very little. But whatever we have, money can be a challenge for any one of us, either because we are greedy with so much we've got, or we're so envious of what someone else has got, and we can use things wisely or not wisely. This is an age of materialism where we're so wanting to get more things all the time, and where we're consuming so much stuff all the time. And actually, honour God with your wealth. Am I going to put him first? Am I going to live my life his way, or my life my way? What would it mean to be giving to him first before I give to me? Do I put me first or do I put him first? Maybe giving a tithe of 10% was the practice then, the first fruits of the harvest, the first Kit Kats in the barn. How is it with you? Where are your priorities? What's top of your spending list? And how much do you give to him out of thankfulness for all that he's given to you? So there's turn away from evil, there's honour him with your wealth, and then there's also this bit, accept his discipline at the end. You see that? There in verse 11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. What does that mean? Well, other parts of the Bible tell us that sometimes tough times come as a test or as a challenge. And that might be tough times financially or tough times in health or tough times in relationships or other things. And again, I had a lovely example from someone this week. I won't embarrass the person now, but someone who said, well, the Lord's obviously teaching me something through this. Maybe he's dealing with my pride. And they actually said it to me. And I thought, well, bless you for being able to say that. And then we prayed together. So if something tough comes along, maybe we could ask ourselves the question, is this actually from God and he's teaching me something through this? Quite often he is. His purposes are spiritual and loving, and maybe he's got something to tell me through something difficult, and I need to listen, not get angry, but I need to listen and be humble because he's in charge. I mentioned the book of Job earlier, who suffers so much in his life. And actually, he never really finds out why he suffers, but he's humbled and he hangs on to knowing that God is God and I'm just his creature. And even if I don't understand, I'm going to be humble. I'm going to live my life his way. Somebody else said, suffering is a growth opportunity. When the opportunity comes, will you seize it and will you grow? Or will it be something else? How do we react when we go through difficult times that come to all of us? We need to be ready for that. And maybe this is a way of understanding, will I accept his discipline when it comes? There are quite a few mentions of all kinds of blessings in this passage as well, and I just wanted to touch on those too, because you see, it seems to imply, verses 2, 4, 6, 8 actually, that everything could be absolutely wonderful. It says, do this, and then length of days and years of life will be added to you. And then verse 4, do this, and you'll find favour and good success. And then verse 6, he'll make straight your paths. And then verse 8, it'll be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And verse 10, then your barns will be full of plenty. And it just sounds like, do this, and you're going to be sort of mega blessed out of all proportion. And then that doesn't sort of always seem to happen quite like that, does it? It's not about having material wealth and prosperity and being enormously physically blessed with practical possessions. How do we understand this? Because it seems sometimes the bad guys win, not the good guys, doesn't it? Sometimes it seems like I'm not being blessed and they are, and they're not even a Christian, and so on. I think the wisdom for us here is that God has made this world. He's made us to live in it. We need to live in it his way. And it is also a broken world. He's still in charge, but it's a broken world. And so some of these things come true in this world, yes, but all of them will come true in the world to come, in the life to come. Again, someone else commenting on this said, these words about the blessings are generally true in this life and absolutely, totally true in the life to come. And we need to accept how he deals with us. Now, maybe we should think more about that, but time is running out. What we do know is that Jesus has come. He's defeated sin. He's defeated death. He's making all things new. It will be wonderful. But at the moment, we're still in this broken world where things don't always quite work out the way we would like. But it's still God's world. He still made it, and his wisdom is still good for us. Let me finish with an illustration, if you like. Imagine that a friend has just got a new car. Maybe you've recently just got a new car. I've seen someone pulling up at church in a new car recently. Brilliant, lovely. But imagine that they say to you, do you know what? I'm going to do an experiment. I'm never going to have it serviced. And I'm never going to change the tyres. I'm never going to change anything. I'm just going to see how long it goes for before finally I can't drive it anymore. And you think, you idiot, what are you going to do that for? Yeah, it's a lovely car. You look after it. That'll run for years. But you do that with it, it's going to be ruined. And then they say, actually, I'm thinking of, I'm not going to bother with insurance. And road tax, you can get away with it much more easily now. And actually, do you know what? I like driving on the right. When there's a chance. I like driving on the right, you know, because that's more exciting. You idiot. That's not the way you drive. That's not the way you look after a car. That's not the way you drive a car. What's your advice to them in that situation? Do the servicing according to the manufacturer's instructions, and it might run for 200,000 miles. You never know. Pay your tax, get your insurance, drive on the left, and you'll enjoy it a lot more. And it's really that kind of advice applied to us and to our lives, which is what all this is about. Do it according to the manufacturer's instructions. Follow the rules of the road. It's going to be a whole lot better if you do. Shall we live our lives like that? Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't think you know better. Don't look inside for self-help. Look up for God's help, the living God. Will you rely on him with all your heart? Will you remember him in all you do? It's a challenge for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we've heard a bit of advice from a father to a son, and you are our father, and we are your sons and daughters. Lord, we pray that we would hear your voice. We pray that we would be wise and listen to it and put it into practice. Help us to see the wisdom of following you in your world, living your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.